Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's happening in San Diego? And welcome in to Gwen and Chris. Almost a full edition of the program. Go figure, oh, Scraby. We got almost 4 hours, about 3 hours and 15 minutes worth today. Looking forward to it here, hanging out with you until 6 o'clock. No Padre Roundtable this week because the Padres were in action today. You may have seen they beat the Cincinnati Reds 6-4, a 10-inning victory for the Friars, who finish up the road trip at 5-2. Very successful road trip. And the Padres will come home a game over 500, back over the 500 mark. And get set now to host the New York Yankees. I'll be honest with you, Scraby. I'm in a pretty good Padre mood today the game today.
Good.
I thought Matt Waldron pitched a gutty 5 innings. I mean, that thing could have gotten completely away from him in the first 2 innings. I mean, there was all kinds of traffic, bases loaded, runners everywhere. He's walking guys. Couldn't really control the knuckleball. But he made some big pitches, and that's a sign of a pitcher who I think is improving. And instead of the Padres being behind 6-4 or something after the second inning, they were still ahead 4-2, and then Waldron settled in and got into the sixth inning there, got through five. The bullpen, had its I think they had a 14 1/3 inning scoreless streak going into the game, got snapped on the home run. But, did the Padres discover or have they located an eighth inning guy or what?
Yes, they have.
Jeremiah Estrada is clearly the setup guy now for Robert Suarez. Apologies to Wandy Peralta and to anybody else who would like to pitch the eighth inning ahead of Robert Suarez. That has now got to be Jeremiah Estrada time. I mean, he struck out 5 in a row.
I believe he did,
over 2 innings, and got the win in relief. Of course, he did have a save earlier on the road trip in Atlanta when Mike Schilt flip-flopped and brought Suarez in the 8th inning. And, Suarez gets the save today. You brought up I saw your tweet after that game in which Estrada got the save.
Oh, yes.
And it was a good tweet because, not a lot of closers – not thinking of the guy that worked here last year, but maybe you are out there. Not a lot of closers would like to be brought in the 8th inning and give their save opportunity to somebody else.
True.
But Robert Suarez, you need me in the 8th inning, I'll pitch the 8th inning. You need me to pitch yesterday or the 4-run lead when I can't get a save? Bring me in. This is what's been great about Robert Suarez. Even better than the 14-for-14 is his just ability to come into the game whenever Mike Schilt wants him to and do the job and get it done, regardless of what's required.
Listen,
sometimes you got a 1-run lead. I mean, today basically you have a 1-run lead. I know it's a 2-run lead, but don't forget they start with a runner at second base. So you really have very little room for error. And, the guy that started the inning at second base for the Reds stayed there. Mm-hmm. He never went anywhere.
Yeah.
And, so Suarez, he's got 14 out of 14. I don't know how many of those have been the easy up by 3-run variety. Most of them have been a run or 2 runs or a 4-out or a 5-out save, whatever they need. And, like I said yesterday, they felt like, let's just close with him. We're up by 4, but we don't want to mess around. They say go out there and end the ball game. You can't get a save. They can't put a statistic on your record. This isn't going to help you make any more money in arbitration, but it is going to help us win a game. And that's what Suarez does. He just goes and does it.
What do you think?
Couldn't be happier about this guy.
Part of his philosophy, Robert Suarez, I'm talking about, do you think is because he's already got his contract, so he's like, hey, I need to
I don't think. I'm hoping, you know, those kinds of things aren't necessarily thought about. I just think he goes out and loves to pitch and help his team win games.
And he said that, too. Like, I don't care where I pitch as long as it helps them win.
Yeah.
And he means it.
You know, you can say he's got his contract, so he's comfortable with it, and maybe Josh Hader didn't have his contract, and so he needed to. Yeah, that's just an excuse, you know, honestly, for Josh Hader. And I'm not here to, you know, pick on Josh Hader anymore.
Nah.
He's long gone now.
Yeah.
And we're happy with what we have.
Yes.
But, you know, I think if you're a certain type of person, you know, you and you're Suarez, you just go out and pitch and do what, you know, you're asked to do, and you help your team win ball games. You know, I know a lot of fans would like to think, you know, like last year, how many times did you hear it? Well, Jake Cronenworth's got his money now. He made his contract. He got his big contract. So he's not doing anything.
Yeah.
Well, he did have a bad year. I'm not going to argue that. But anybody thinks that Jake Cronenworth just, you know, went on vacation once he got his contract, obviously didn't pay attention to the kind of work he was putting in this offseason to make sure that last season didn't happen again.
Yeah, he wanted to live up to his deal, which started this year.
Right, but I mean, you know, my point is a lot of people gave up
Absolutely.
On him last year, said, well, you shouldn't
saying.
Have given him all the money. You know, now he's a fat cat, and he's just, I mean, that's ridiculous.
He's a fat cat.
You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, Cronenworth works harder than anybody. And, you know, this year he's come back, bounced back nicely. And, you know, so, I mean, this notion that guys, you know, maybe there's some guys in baseball and in basketball, football, whatever it is, that once they get their contract, they feel like they've made it and they relax. But I don't think too many of them do. I really don't. And I'm talking about all athletes in all sports. Why? Because for the most part, these guys want to go out and do a good job.
Yeah,
they're playing on TV every night. They're playing in front of 40,000 people every night. They don't want to go out there and fail.
They don't want to embarrass themselves. They want to go down and
exactly.
They don't want to be the guy that fans point to as the guy who didn't work out.
I would think so. So, you know, I got to think most guys think this way. And, you know, we tend to pay attention maybe to the guys that don't, but Robert Suarez, man, not only is he 14-14, the whole thing, 4.0 ERA, but, I mean, he's just doing whatever. He's been in 22 games. That means there's 8 games he's pitched in this year that he hasn't got a save.
Good point.
That he's, you know, just done what he needs to try to do to help you win a game. I think he picked up a win or two along the way. But, you know, not every time he goes out there, he's going out there, you know, to earn more money. He's going out there to help you win the game. I really appreciate that from Suarez.
Me
and
too.
He's been a real breath of fresh air. Now, the other guy that you got to talk about after today's game, is there any wonder why both Tony and I loved Luis Arraez 2 years before he ever got here?
It makes a whole bigger, a much bigger impact to me that he's on this team now, because I didn't realize that he does get a ton of hits.
He does things that very few guys in the game today do, and that is put the bat on the ball, hit a line drive somewhere, and help you win games and get on base and hit for batting average and then hit doubles, ran into one last night, hit a home run. I mean, he gets his second consecutive four-hit game today. And you can talk about, you know, the singles, the doubles, the line drives. It was his willingness to drop that bunt down in the 10th inning. And basically, he was bunting for a hit there. But it was also a smart play, because if he was out, if the pitcher makes a great play, scoops the ball, and is able to get him, he still moves the runner to third, sets up the go-ahead run. So, I mean, this is another guy that is playing for one reason in my mind, and that is to help you win the ball game. I couldn't love watching this guy any more than I do.
He's reinvigorated now that he's on a team that has a chance.
I mean, I knew I liked this guy, like I said, before he got here, because, you know, most everybody plays baseball now to put up the big power numbers. You know, chicks dig the long ball. I don't know that they still
chicks
have that.
Chicks like the fastball.
I don't think they still have that commercial out anymore. Remember that old commercial with the chicks dig the long ball?
It's a great commercial.
But everything's slugging. Everything's OPS. Not to Luis Arise. It is, give me a pitch. Has anybody other than me noticed that when he comes to the plate, he glances all around the field?
I've noticed.
Have you seen him do that?
Yep. He's looking for a spot.
He's looking for an opening to hit the ball. I love this. I don't know any other player. You watch every other player in baseball come to bat. They're staring at the pitcher, and you know, they're getting ready for the pitch. I don't see anybody looking around the field to see, you know, where there's an opening. Because you know why?
Why?
Because nobody's good enough to control their bat and hit it where that opening is.
It reminds me of the water boy, you know, where they're looking in the onside kick. They're looking for that one guy. He's
Arise.
Scanning it.
I love this guy. He's got to be hitting over 400 now since he joined the Padres. He was at 350 a couple of days ago, and he just had 10 hits in this series.
Jesse Agler had a great tweet. Let me get to it before we head to break. He said, for the road trip, Luis Arise went... he went 8 for 19 in Atlanta, 10 for 14 in Cincinnati, 18 for 33 in 7 games.
Yeah, here's what he is with the Padres now. I got it here. 17 games, 31 hits. He's hitting 419 as a Padre. Welcome back.
Gave me chills a little bit.
Welcome back.
It never happens this way, Chris.
To the ghost of Tony Gwynn, Luis Arise.
Can we talk about this on the other side? Because I didn't really get to see Tony Gwynn play much. Let's talk.
This is the kind of stuff he did consistently. We'll pick it up when we return. Glad you're with us on Gwynn and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back at you, Gwynn and Chris. Kicking off the second hour of, we had a brief 15-minute first hour.
Yes, we did.
Padres game went a little long today, but it was worth the wait. Padres knock off the Cincinnati Reds 6-4 today. Padres came through. Not only did they win the game, Scrabe, with two in the 10th, got those two runs against a left-handed pitcher. Alert the media.
That is
true. The Padres finally came through against a lefty, Fernando Tatis Jr., with the go-ahead RBI double for Fernando. His third RBI this season off a left-handed pitcher, but better late than never.
Yeah.
Came at a good time.
Pick it up now.
Jake Cronenworth followed with a sack fly. Padres got the two runs. That was plenty for Robert Suarez. We left off the conversation, though, on Luis Arise and the you know, just the amazing run he's on right now. 10 hits in this series, back-to-back four-hit games. You know how many times the great Tony Gwynn had back-to-back four-hit games?
I think I'm cheating because I heard this on with Jesse and Tony once.
Once.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did it once. And Luis Arraez has now done it once.
Last time it happened?
John Jay. Yeah, John Jay. They were big on that stat. I think it was in 2016. John Jay wasn't quite the hitter that Luis Arraez is, though.
No.
I hate to tell you. You know, this guy, you know, line drives down the right field line, line drives the left center, pulling the ball through the hole, 5.5 hole the other way. I mean, it's terrific. And, you know, he's the catalyst right now for the Padres. And, you know, they put him on first base today, moved Jake to second. Good move by Mike Schilt. Arraez is a great hitter. He's not a great fielder.
Do you think that's something that they should be doing while Xander Bogaerts
is out?
To. This is their new thing.
Yeah, they're going to stay with this. There's no way they – there's no reason to switch back that I can see. Jake is a far superior, you know, middle infielder to Arraez.
Yeah.
And, you know, just making that move might have won the game today. Jake, you know, cuts off that throw through on the double steal early in the ball game, throws out the runner at the plate. Manny threw out a runner at the plate today.
Yes, he did.
And the runner he threw out was Ellie De La Cruz, which is
not easy.
Not easy to do. So those two defensive plays may have helped save the ball game, kind of helped make up for a couple of base running blunders by the Padres today.
Yeah, that base running blunder at the end was a little
bit much. Again, see, here's the difference. And Ha-Seong Kim, he was trying to make a play there. So, and he got caught. He's on second base with one out. He's trying to get to third where he can score on a fly ball and give the Padres the lead. And he just took off a fraction of a second too early. And Diaz caught him, turned around and threw. And to me, that's trying to make a play. And so that to me isn't a blunder. You didn't want to see him get picked off there, but I understand what he was trying to do. He's trying to get the third. He's trying to be aggressive. He had stolen third earlier in the game. He figured, you know, he could get there again. But, you know, Diaz, you know, made a good play and got him. The other play early in the ball game where Manny gets thrown out trying to get the third, on that one, you have to be 100% sure the ball is far enough away from the catcher.
Yeah.
You can't get caught for the last out of the inning at third base. We've talked about this is an old baseball axiom. Manny knows
it. We've seen that
twice now. Manny knows that.
From Ellie De La Cruz.
So, you know, that was, to me, that was a mistake. The Ha-Seong Kim thing looked bad because it took the potential go ahead run off second base there. But I think he was trying to make a play. And I don't mind trying to make a play and you get thrown out. I don't like base running plays that aren't the smartest. I think there's a difference in that regard.
Real quick, because we did say before the break we would talk about Luis Arraez and how watching Tony Gwynn might be the same thing. What do you think? Do you think they're pretty similar? Is this? I mean, basically what I see is Luis Arraez on base every time I look up.
Yeah, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a funny thing about, to me, about Arraez is the notion is that, you know, he's just a singles hitter. He doesn't hit for power, doesn't, you know, hit too many doubles and triples. But who doesn't root for a guy to be on base every single time they're up?
Yeah.
Like, that's a really good thing. And this guy's been on base 45% of the time since the Padres have got him. 45%. He's got a 962 OPS with the Padres. That's without hitting for, you know, power. He just gets on base that much. I don't see how that hurts your team. Again, you know, Tony Jr., you know, if he said it's okay to make a comparison, then I say we can make a little comparison, right?
And if it's okay
with Tony, it's okay with me. It's not the same. I mean, I just think, you know, Tony Gwynn was, you know, maybe the greatest bat control guy I've ever, you know, been able to see. You know, the only other guy that I compare to Tony was Rod Carew, who was a little even before that. played for the Twins and then the Angels. I mean, Rod Carew used to just lay out base hits to left field in his sleep. But, you know, Arise is, he's to me, he's just really fun to watch in his own right. I don't need to make a comparison to Tony to enjoy Luis Arise. So I'm going to leave it at that. You know, if he does it for another 15 years and they start thinking about putting him in the Hall of Fame, you know, then we can start, you know, maybe making comparisons. But, you know, for what he is, which is just an amazing, you know, line drive machine that gets on base every single time, practically. Now, I'm glad he's on this ball club. And, you know, that I don't watch too many baseball games live.
Yes.
Right? You've been through my...
Yeah.
I you know, today, for example, I DVR the game, and then I start watching it about an hour and a half after it actually starts.
It was still in the third inning at that
point. I know. But today it was. But, you know, and then I kind of fast forward through a lot of stuff and the commercials and some of the nuances and... You know, like when Jonathan India comes up, I don't really have to watch him.
Oh, you're not watching his every pitch?
Not really, no. You know, I just kind of... But when Arise is up, I stop the DVR and I watch this guy hit. I mean, it's worth it to me to watch every at-bat. And that's why I say, I see him get into the batter's box and look around the field.
Yeah.
As if to say, ah...
He's also got a slight...
Where am I going to hit the ball here?
He has also got a slight, and I hate to compare him to someone else because he's his own guy, a slight Soto shuffle.
A little bit, yeah.
He does. We all knew about Luis Arraez, but until they come to your team and you watch them on a daily basis, you don't really appreciate how good they are.
Well, we're lucky to have him. I'm so glad we have him. I can't name one guy they traded for him. I know they traded a bunch of guys, but...
Jacob Marcy.
Let him go. I hope they all have great, wonderful careers with the Marlins. I'm ecstatic to have Arise here in San Diego. It's a good road trip. It's 5-2. You know, if you were with us the last couple of days, I went on and on about how they can't hit lefties. We'll pick this up tomorrow because a lefty is starting tomorrow.
Is it Rodon
against
tomorrow?
Them? Carlos Rodon. They have been shut out. In four of the last five games, they face lefty starters. That's bad. But, you know, for now, I'm going to leave it be. They had two right-handed starters the last 2 days. They had 14 hits yesterday, and they were in double figures again today. So, you know, you bring me a righty. This team can hit. I can't explain it. Let's hope it changes, and let's hope it changes starting tomorrow night. Because the one thing, you know, I really want from this team, and I've, you know, been saying it for 3 weeks now, is a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a run to get away from the 500 mark. 10 out of 12, 9 out of 11, something that puts me 6, 7, 8 games over 500. I believe this team is good enough to do that. We just haven't seen it yet. And, you know, they go up, they go down, they go up, they go down. It gets a little frustrating. You know, let's see if maybe this homestand they can put something together. I'm certainly not scared of the Yankees. I know they're having a really nice season. They won again today. They shut out the, I think, the Mariners 5-0. Soto's having an incredible season. Hit two home runs yesterday. I know he's got 13 now. He's got a better OPS than Jerickson Profar. So, you know, that's where Soto is. He's way up there around 1,000 like he always is. And, you know, sure, we miss him, but he's not here anymore. Not really worried about it. I wonder what kind of response he's going to get in town tomorrow night. If you guys weren't willing to boo Will Smith after the crap he said about Profar, are you really going to boo Juan Soto? I have a feeling you are.
I've been trying to think of reasons why people would boo him, and the only reason I would boo him is because we never saw this level of production while he was here in San Diego, but I can't boo him for that. I can't. As much as I don't like it, I've let it go, Chris.
Well, I don't think everybody has. For some reason, whatever the reason might be, I mean, look, this is coming from a person. I'm not a fan of Soto. He's not my kind of player. He's not my kind of guy. But if you're going to boo him because you blame blame what happened last year solely on Juan Soto.
Oh, that's not true.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
That's basically stupid. So, you know, I don't know what else I can tell you about that. It'll be interesting to see what kind of response he gets here this weekend. But it'll be fun to see the Yankees. I'm not worried about the Yankees.
I'm not either because they're a winning team.
The Padres have already taken 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers twice. They've taken 3 out of 4 from the Braves. They've taken 2 out of 3 from Milwaukee. They've been beating first-place teams all year long.
Where has that occurred, though, Chris?
All of that on the road?
Yeah, the home thing is still a problem.
Well, they did take 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers here.
But then they got swept by
then they
the
got
Rockies.
Swept by the Rockies.
And the Rockies series, I can't explain it, but I'm just going to chalk it up to one of those series, I guess.
Well,
because now they're back on track.
The crazy thing is the Padres have 10 wins this year over first-place teams, but they have 9 losses to last-place teams. So, in a lot of ways, right, that kind of cancels each other out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's why they're at 500. And, you know, they're not going to get the 9 out of 11 I'm talking about, or the, you know, the big streak that gets them, you know, 6 or 7 games over. They're not going to get that until they can find a way to score some runs against a left-handed pitcher, because the odds are it's not going to line up where you only have to face righties for like 3 straight weeks.
Yeah, they're going to have to figure it out.
They're going to have to figure this out. And hopefully it starts tomorrow night against Carlos Rodon.
I tweeted this, and I was half joking, but on Tuesday when they got shut out 2-0 by the Reds, I chalked that one up to a terrible travel schedule and playing a doubleheader on Monday.
Yeah, but if you start chalking up losses, every loss to
I know
something,
I'm making excuses.
Yeah,
but that is a good excuse.
It's an okay excuse, but
they came out swinging the next day and they won today.
Yeah, well, to me, 4 out of 5 shutouts against lefty starters trumps them being tired the other day against a lefty starter. They got to go out tomorrow night, and they got to get, you know, 9 or 10 hits, put 6 or 7 runs up there, and, you know, get out of this funk against lefties. We'll see if they can do it starting tomorrow night, but they did win today. Before we move on from today's game, tip of the cap to David Peralta.
Yeah.
Right? He comes in, gets 3 hits today. It's his second start. Hit an RBI yesterday. Now, unfortunately, he's a left-handed bat that's not going to help you against left-handed pitching. But, you know, it's
what are
nice
his splits,
to
pick. You know?
I don't know. His career splits, I could look them up. But
okay.
I don't believe David Peralta is a great hitter against left-handers. Left-handers. As a matter of fact, I don't think we'll even get a chance to find out. Because I'm almost positive that Solano will be in there tomorrow night.
Yes.
And Peralta will be on the bench tomorrow night.
He hits...
Career, you're looking this
241
up?
241 in his career against lefties.
Well,
that's not terrible.
Not horrible.
But his OPS is 663.
No, he's not going to be in there tomorrow. I'm sure Solano will be in there.
Should we give a little bit
get
of credit?
Get an extra right-handed bat.
To A.J. Preller as well, because he's brought in some veteran bench pieces that, you know, have worked out so far.
I don't know. If we give too much credit to A.J. Preller, then people will think we're shilling for the ball club.
I will shill for A.J. Preller right now because he deserves a little bit of credit. I will shill for him when he brings in guys like Dylan Cease, Luis Arraez, and then
your check is in the mail, my friend. Your check is in the mail.
I wish there was a check in the mail.
Look, I think, I mean, they're going to go the entire career of A.J. Preller, but I think there's been more good than bad.
Right now, yes.
And, you know, like I said, he's picked up Cease, he's picked up Arraez. Peralta and Solano haven't hurt the ball club.
Suarez a couple years ago.
All right.
We'll do our
AJ conversation a little bit later.
Okay.
We got a Daily Gambit to get to next. NBA playoffs. Stanley Cup is rolling along. Find out what else is happening in the world of sports on this Thursday. Padres over the Reds, 6-4, the final. Gwynn and Chris coming back with more after some traffic, I believe, here on your favorite station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, welcome back. Gwynn and Chris, Crisello, Matt Scraby. Today in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Of course, Tony Gwynn Jr. is with the Padres. They're traveling back from Cincinnati where they beat the Reds. A 10-inning affair earlier today, 6-4. Padres wind up 5-2 on the road trip. Come back home a game over 500. And at least for one day, I'm not going to pick on them for not being able to beat left-handed pitching. We'll talk more about that tomorrow when they have to face a left-handed pitcher. But the last 2 days, right-handed starters, and the Padres brought out the bats. None more so than Luis Arraez, who had 4 hits yesterday, backed it up with 4 more today. I think the only other Padres that have done it, John Jay, you mentioned, was the last guy.
Yep.
I saw Reggie Sanders on that list.
Cameron Maben.
Cameron Maben was on that list. And Tony Gwynn,
yep,
who only did it once. That's how hard that is to do.
That is very difficult to do.
Yeah. Now, how about this? Luis Arraez has multiple hits in 8 straight games.
I think he has an on-base streak as well.
That's absurd. So, and he's not just getting 1 hit a night, getting at least 2 in 8 consecutive games. I don't know what Tony's record was for that.
Getting multiple hits?
Tony, yeah.
Tony Gwynn Jr.?
Tony Gwynn Sr.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Tony Gwynn Jr., as much as we love him, I would hasten to say that he never had a streak of 8 straight with multiple hits. His dad may have done that.
I'm going to try to look that up real quick.
You know, the one thing about, you know, we've talked about this before with Tony Sr., great as he was, longest hitting streak he ever had was 25 games. You would think somebody as great as Tony Gwynn would have at least made it to the 30s or something, you know.
But he never did. 25 is pretty good.
25 is good. Who holds the Padre record for longest hitting streak?
I know this through Chris vs. the Fans, Roberto Alomar.
That's not correct.
Wait, not Roberto Alomar.
You're getting your guys mixed up.
Oh, gosh.
Benito Santiago.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, in his rookie season.
I did know that.
His rookie season, Benito. I think it was 37 in a row.
Who did I said play for? Roberto,
he played for the Padres for a little bit.
Okay. Right.
And then went on to much greatness with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Okay.
All right. Padres, we'll talk more about that, of course, as the program goes along. We got a sport court coming up for you. We'll settle everybody's problems. Chris versus the Fans, as you just mentioned it, it's coming up in its regular spot slot at 4 o'clock. Big 5. But right now it's Daily Gambit. What's going on in the world of sports?
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. And we don't really have any bets to review. I have one betting story. I'm still, if I get this update on Tony Gwynn and his multi-hit game streak, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
But first, join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. So this popped up on my phone today, and I thought it was kind of interesting. The Bears. The Chicago Bears had the number one overall pick in the draft. They took Caleb Williams from USC with the first overall pick, but bettors don't care, Chris, because they're still betting on the Bears to miss the playoffs.
I would do that as well. They're in a very tough division.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, you've got the Detroit Lions, who are, you know, maybe going to be, along with the Niners, the favorites in the NFC. You've got the Packers, who are, you know, right there. You still got the Vikings, although I think, you know, Kevin O'Connell's going to have his work cut out for him now,
yes, with
the quarterback situation, but yeah, I don't think Caleb Williams. I mean, how many rookies come in and lead their team to the playoffs unless your name happens to be the kid for Houston? C.J. Stroud.
And Ben Roethlisberger, I guess.
Roethlisberger did it, but not too often.
Not often.
Not often. So, yeah, I'd probably bet against the Bears.
I think Brock Purdy maybe, too. Led his team to the playoffs.
A little different situation.
Okay.
Took over in midseason. The team was already doing quite well.
I think Bears fans are... I talked to a Bears fan over the weekend who's from there, and I think they're expecting a terrible season, even though that they have all these... They don't like the coaching staff.
No, not too many people do. If they get to the 500 mark, I think it would be successful.
Me
Dan
too.
Marino also led the Dolphins to the playoffs in his first season. Yeah. And then he flamed out in the first round. All right, let's get to the Daily Gambit. Let's start with the NBA playoffs. Tonight it's game two between the Celtics and the Pacers. Yes, somebody please explain and tell ESPN that the other team playing is the Pacers.
Man, I heard that you had some huge rant yesterday that I missed.
Well, I mean, they're ESPN just totally basically negating the fact that the Pacers are there. I mean, first, their homer coverage of the Knicks was embarrassing. flat out embarrassing. Between Stephen A. Smith and, you know, everybody cheering and rooting for the Knicks, basically outwardly rooting for the Knicks, and Mike Breen, who's the play-by-play guy of the Knicks, it was bad in that last series. And now you can ESPN wants the Celtics to win so badly. I thought it was one-sided broadcast again the other night.
Interesting, because we have a Big Five question.
Okay, we'll get into that. But tonight the Celtics are favored by 9 in Game 2. What do you like? Celtics won in overtime in Game 1, if you recall.
I'm not going to go with the Celtics.
You can go with Indiana here.
Yeah, because the Celtics, every time I pick them, they do the wrong thing.
I'm going to go with the Celtics tonight. They're due to have one of those nights where they make every three. I thought Indiana blew a big opportunity the other night. I mean, they had that game. And you know what? If the Celtics aren't playing well tonight, they've still got the refs.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to talk about that? 23 foul shots to 3?
Well,
in regulation play the other night?
How many were submitted as
I said this yesterday. I ripped Rick Carlisle all over, up one side and down the other, for complaining after the Knicks series. But after watching Game 1, I almost am buying into what he's selling now. Because it was really bad.
All right.
Really bad. I mean, they showed a lot of replays of fouls that were missed against Halliburton and things like that that were obvious. You know, shooting fouls. And
so you thought there may have been a little bit of...
No, I don't. I can't believe that the NBA would be flat-out cheating. I can't believe that. But I can believe that ESPN is rooting like hell for Boston. That I can believe. Over-under tonight is 225 points. They'll go over.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Celtics, again, are going to be hitting all their threes. They're due for one of those explosions. Indiana will keep up with them a little bit. 225. They got 261 the other night in overtime. What do you like here?
I'm going to say combined shooting percentage, field goal percentage for the teams, 38%, so under.
Combined shooting percentage, 38%. I don't know how you arrive at that.
Because the Pacers were on fire the first two games. They can't keep shooting like that.
Well, there's only been one game of this series.
Okay,
but you mean the last
two
games.
Two games.
They had the Game 7 historic game against the Knicks.
That was incredible.
Tyrese Halliburton, 18.5 points tonight, Scraby.
18.5.
He normally makes at least 6 threes, so that's 18 right there.
I'm going to say the fouls are going to be called, and I'll say over.
They're going to call them tonight. He'll go over, trying to keep up with the Celtics.
Okay.
NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, there's one city left that has a chance to pull off the unprecedented NBA-NHL double.
I don't know.
Winning both championships in the same year. It's never been done.
I don't know if the Bruins are still in it.
They're not, but the Dallas Stars are.
Oh.
And, of course, so are the Dallas Mavericks. So Dallas could pull off the double. Tonight, the Stars open up the Western Conference Finals as 1.5 goal favorites over your Edmonton Oilers. Scraby, I know you've been wearing your Oiler jersey here lately.
Every single day.
I'll go... Dallas has been having a lot of luck of late. I'm going to take Edmonton in this one.
All right. It's game one. Go with Dallas, then.
You can go with Dallas just to spite me.
Winning by two is not very comfortable, but I'll do it.
All right. Well, they could be up by one and make the old empty net goal.
I do like empty net goals.
Which gets you put up by two.
Especially when I have bets.
Game one of that series in Dallas tonight. And then we got one baseball game this evening. Baltimore Orioles had an amazing streak snapped yesterday, Scraby. You know what it was?
It was winning series.
They were swept by the Cardinals. First time in 106 series that they had been swept.
That's
the
crazy.
Orioles. 106.
That's a lot.
Ashley Rutschman,
Adley.
Adley, thank you. Yeah, Ashley. Adley Rutschman had never been swept in his career.
I mean, until, it's only 1.5 years, but sure.
But it's he had never experienced a sweep. Cardinals swept that 3-game series, the first time the Orioles have been swept in almost 2 years. They go back to work tonight in Chicago against Mike Clevinger and the White Sox. Baltimore favored by 1.5. I think you're first.
You know, the White Sox.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back. Gwynn and Chris, Crisello, Matt Scraby today in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Of course, Tony Gwynn Jr. is with the Padres. They're traveling back from Cincinnati where they beat the Reds. A 10-inning affair earlier today, 6-4. Padres wind up 5-2 on the road trip, come back home. A game over 500, and at least for one day, I'm not going to pick on them for not being able to beat left-handed pitching. We'll talk more about that tomorrow when they have to face a left-handed pitcher, but the last 2 days, right-handed starters, and the Padres brought out the bats, none more so than Luis Arraez, who had 4 hits yesterday, backed it up with 4 more today. I think the only other Padres that have done it, John Jay, you mentioned, was the last guy.
Yeah,
I saw Reggie Sanders on that list.
Cameron
Maben was on that list, and Tony Gwynn, who only did it once. That's how hard that is to do.
That is very difficult to do.
Yeah. Now, how about this? Luis Arraez has multiple hits in 8 straight games.
I think he has an on-base streak as well.
That's absurd. So, and he's not just getting 1 hit a night. Getting at least 2 in 8 consecutive games. I don't know what Tony's record was for that.
Getting multiple hits?
Tony, yeah.
Tony Gwynn Jr.?
Tony Gwynn Sr.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Tony Gwynn Jr., as much as we love him, I would hasten to say that he never had a streak of 8 straight with multiple hits. His dad may have done that.
I'm going to try to look that up real quick.
You know, the one thing about, you know, we've talked about this before with Tony Sr., great as he was, longest hitting streak he ever had was 25 games. You would think somebody as great as Tony Gwynn would have at least made it to the 30s or something, you know.
But 25 he never did. Pretty good.
25's good. Who holds the Padre record for longest hitting streak?
I know this through Chris vs. the Fans, Roberto Alomar.
That's not correct.
Wait, not Roberto Alomar.
You're getting your guys mixed up.
Oh, gosh.
Benito Santiago.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, in his rookie season.
He did it in his
rookie season, Benito. I think it was 37 in a row.
Who did I said play for?
Roberto Alomar. He played for the Padres for a little bit.
Okay. Right.
And then went on to much greatness with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Okay.
All right. Padres, we'll talk more about that, of course, as the program goes along. We got a sport court coming up for you. We'll settle everybody's problems. Chris versus the fans, as you just mentioned it, it's coming up in its regular spot slot at 4 o'clock. Big Five. But right now it's Daily Gambit. What's going on in the world of sports?
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in the Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. And we don't really have any bets to review. I have one betting story. I'm still, if I get this update on Tony Gwynn and his multi-hit game streak, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
But first, join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. So this popped up on my phone today, and I thought it was kind of interesting. The Bears. The Chicago Bears have the number one overall pick in the draft. They took Caleb Williams from USC with the first overall pick, but bettors don't care, Chris, because they're still betting on the Bears to miss the playoffs.
I would do that as well. They're in a very tough division.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, you've got the Detroit Lions, who are, you know, maybe going to be, along with the Niners, the favorites in the NFC. You've got the Packers, who are, you know, right there. You still got the Vikings, although I think, you know, Kevin O'Connell's going to have his work cut out for him now.
Yes.
With the quarterback situation, but yeah, I don't think Caleb Williams. I mean, how many rookies come in and lead their team to the playoffs unless your name happens to be the kid for Houston? C.J. Stroud.
And Ben Roethlisberger, I guess.
Roethlisberger did it, but not too often.
Not often.
Not often. So, yeah, I'd probably bet against the Bears.
I think Brock Purdy maybe, too. Led his team to the playoffs.
A little different situation.
Okay.
Took over in midseason. The team was already doing quite well.
I think Bears fans are... I talked to a Bears fan over the weekend who's from there, and I think they're expecting a terrible season, even though that they have all these...
Well,
they don't like the coaching staff.
No, not too many people do. If they get to the 500 mark, I think it would be successful. Dan Marino also led the Dolphins to the playoffs in his first season, and then he flamed out in the first round. All right, let's get to the Daily Gambit. Let's start with the NBA playoffs. Tonight it's game two between the Celtics and the Pacers. Yes, somebody please explain and tell ESPN that the other team playing is the Pacers.
Man, I heard that you had some huge rant yesterday that I missed.
Well, I mean, ESPN just totally... basically negating the fact that the Pacers are there. I mean, first, their homer coverage of the Knicks was embarrassing. Flat out embarrassing. Between Stephen A. Smith and, you know, everybody cheering and rooting for the Knicks, basically outwardly rooting for the Knicks, and Mike Breen, who's the play-by-play guy of the Knicks, it was bad in that last series. And now, you can tell, ESPN wants the Celtics to win so badly. I thought it was... one-sided broadcast again the other night.
Interesting, because we have a Big Five question.
Okay, we'll get into that. But tonight the Celtics are favored by 9 in Game 2. What do you like? Celtics won in overtime in Game 1, if you recall.
I'm not going to go with the Celtics.
You can go with Indiana here.
Yeah, because the Celtics, every time I pick them, they do the wrong thing.
I'm going to go with the Celtics tonight. They're due to have one of those nights where they make every three. I thought Indiana blew a big opportunity the other night. I mean, they had that game. And you know what? If the Celtics aren't playing well tonight, they've still got the refs.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to talk about that? 23 foul shots to 3?
Well,
in regulation many, play the other night?
How many were submitted as
I said this yesterday. I ripped Rick Carlisle all over, up one side and down the other, for complaining after the Knicks series. But after watching Game 1, I almost am buying into what he's selling now.
Because
it was really bad.
All right.
Really bad. I mean, they showed a lot of replays of fouls that were missed against Halliburton and things like that that were obvious, you know, shooting fouls. And
so you thought there may have been a little bit of
I can't believe that the NBA would be flat out cheating. I can't believe that. But I can believe that ESPN is rooting like hell for Boston. That I can believe. Over-under tonight is 225 points. They'll go over.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Celtics, again, are going to be hitting all their threes. They're due for one of those explosions. Indiana will keep up with them a little bit. 225. They got 261 the other night in overtime. What do you like here?
I'm going to say combined shooting percentage, field goal percentage for the teams, 38%, so under.
Combined shooting percentage, 38%. I don't know how you arrive at that.
Because they've been, because the Pacers were on fire the first two games. They can't keep shooting like that.
Well, there's only been one game of series.
Okay,
but you mean the last two games. They had the Game 7 historic game against the Knicks.
That was incredible.
Tyrese Halliburton, 18.5 points tonight, Scraby.
18.5.
He normally makes at least six threes, so that's 18 right there.
I'm going to say the fouls are going to be called, and I'll say over.
They're going to call them tonight. He'll go over, trying to keep up with the Celtics.
Okay.
NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, there's one city left that has a chance to pull off the unprecedented NBA-NHL double.
I don't know.
Winning both championships in the same year. It's never been done.
I don't know if the Bruins are still in it.
They're not, but the Dallas Stars are.
Oh.
And, of course, so are the Dallas Mavericks. So Dallas could pull off the double. Tonight, the Stars open up the Western Conference Finals as 1.5 goal favorites over your Edmonton Oilers, Scraby. I know you've been wearing your Oiler jersey here lately.
Every single day.
I'll go. Dallas has been having a lot of luck of late. I'm going to take Edmonton in this one.
All right.
Game one.
I'm going to go with Dallas then.
You can go with Dallas just to spite me.
Winning by two is not very comfortable, but I'll do it.
All right. Well, they could be up by one and make the old empty net goal.
I do like empty net goals.
Which gets you put up by two.
Especially when I have bets.
Game one of that series in Dallas tonight. And then we got one baseball game this evening. Baltimore Orioles had an amazing streak snapped yesterday, Scraby. You know what it was?
It was winning series.
They were swept by the Cardinals. First time in 106 series. That they had been swept.
That's
the
crazy.
Orioles. 106.
That's a lot.
Ashley Rutschman.
Adley.
Adley, thank you. Yeah, Ashley. Adley Rutschman had never been swept in his career.
I mean, until, it's only 1.5 years, but sure.
But it's he had never experienced a sweep. Cardinals swept that three-game series. The first time the Orioles have been swept in almost 2 years. They go back to work tonight in Chicago against Mike Clevinger and the White Sox. Baltimore favored by a run and a half. I think you're first.
You know, the White Sox have been putting together some wins as of late. I'm happy for Steven Wilson to feel that victory joy once every 18 days.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Orioles.
After all that.
Yeah.
Baltimore's got to take out their frustration on somebody.
So you're
It'll
say
be
Orioles.
Tonight.
Okay.
Mike Clevinger. You talk about a pitcher that had one or two glorious seasons 4 or 5 years ago and has not come close to recapturing that.
Just too many injuries.
He would be the definition of that.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, go get my wig, Scraby. Get the gavel. We're going to settle everybody's problems out there. A Gwen and Chris edition of Sports Court is coming up next.
Oh, when the Padres make a trade by receiving push notifications from 97.3 The Fan on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Just so you know, Scraby and I basically have no lives. Other than this radio show.
He's not lying, everybody.
So when the radio show is in commercial break, we are actually watching the Rockies play the A's in baseball.
Yes.
But it's kind of worth our while.
I don't know.
I don't either, but the Rockies led 4-0. The A's tied it in the ninth, 4-4. The Rockies scored one in the 10th. The A's scored one in the 10th. So the Rockies scored four in the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Now the A's have scored four in the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And it is 9-9. So it's actually kind of a fun game. Padres had some fun in Cincinnati today. They went extra innings and beat the Reds 6-4 to come home 5-2 on this road trip. Yankees tomorrow. We'll start worrying about them tomorrow. And speaking of tomorrow, don't forget, we're broadcasting live from Spiro's. Scraby and I are going to be out there from 2 to 5:30 tomorrow afternoon. If you don't want to come just to see us, then come for the great Mediterranean cuisine at Spiro's.
Yes.
Come to enjoy the amazing atmosphere.
Yes.
At the Coronado Ferry Landing. It's a beautiful place to spend your Friday afternoon. And if all of that isn't enough, we're going to have Padre tickets to give away.
Mm.
We're going to have SD Legion tickets to give away.
Nice.
We're going to have Padre hats, shirts, and bobbleheads to give away. We got all kinds of stuff.
Where did you hear this?
For tomorrow.
Where did you hear this?
I'm busy
things?
At work. Okay. I'm setting this up. By the way, it's time for Sports Court, ladies and gentlemen, if you can't tell, those of you on YouTube.
Do you have a sports issue, San Diego? Do you need a third party to make a decision? The guys have put on their robes and picked up their gavels.
All rise. Here comes the judge.
Gwen and Chris Sports Court starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I gotta say, every time I look into the camera and the video and I see Chris in his wig, I think how great the wig actually looks on you every single time.
It's amazing what happens when you add hair to me.
Ah, man, that's amazing.
Yeah, I got my real hair cut today. Sam, the barber out at Mr. Cut.
Oh, what's Sam up to?
Rancho
these days?
San Diego.
Is he Sam's winning any man. Big bets anymore? Because
he told me actually he's getting ready to participate this year in Circa's.
Survivor Pool.
Survivor Pool.
Well, he should. He wins it every year for whatever he's playing in.
He's been in three Survivor Pools of NFL football that I know of. This is my great barber, Sam. Go visit him out there at Mr. Cut if you're in Rancho San Diego. Say hi to him for me.
If it's good enough for Chris, if it's good enough for Bob Scanlon,
Bob Scanlon goes to Sam too. Yeah. And by the way, if anybody goes and tells Sam that they heard his name on the radio, he goes crazy. He thinks it's the greatest thing that's ever happened. So,
well, there you go, Sam.
He loves it.
We talk about Sam off the air. We talk about Sam on the air.
Sam's the man. But he's also the greatest survivor pool picker I've ever seen. Yeah, he's been in three incredible. Of them that I know of, and he's won them all. Won them all.
That's pretty incredible.
I don't know how you do that. All right. Let's get to Sports Court.
Well, first,
Sports
Court is I dropped something earlier on the show when you were talking about Luis Arraez kind of scanning the field, and I said it's kind of like the water boy when he's scanning the onside kick and he's looking for the scared guy in the line so that he can kick it to that guy.
Oh, in the movie,
yes.
The water boy.
So Eric Price on Twitter said, that was a great reference, thank you. GCU dad said, never seen the water boy. That's my first Sports Court. You have to watch The Waterboy if you're going to listen to this show.
And if you are wondering, Scraby will tell you that it is a great movie. Just like every movie you've ever seen.
The Waterboy is legitimately a great movie.
Sorry.
It's hilarious.
It's all right.
Where would we... I almost posted a GIF the other day when the Padres lost on Tuesday with Rob Schneider saying, "We suck again!" It's from Waterboy. It's great.
It's okay.
All right, here we go. Sports Court, if you have any issues that you want solved by Chris and myself, and when Tony's here, he'll solve them too, then just DM me or email me. But here's the first one. Goes like this.
Okay.
A fun debate broke out during a round of golf the other day, and I thought you guys would get a kick out of it. We were talking about how hard golf is and comparing it to baseball, and I said I think it's much harder to shoot a score of sub-80 on an 18-hole course than it would be to get one hit in 18 at-bats. My theory is you could stick your bat out there and maybe get lucky and get a hit. You can't fake golf for 18 holes. Chris, which is more difficult in your opinion?
I know a lot of us like to think we could just get lucky and get a hit against a major league pitcher. I know we'd love to think that. We can close our eyes, guess right, and hit the ball first, let alone hit it safely.
Yeah, we're not talking about grooving fastballs. We're talking about a legit major league
right.
bat.
Like curveball, sliders, knucklers, whatever it might be.
Just everything flying everywhere.
Yeah. But that said, it's got to be harder to shoot under 80 on a real professional 18-hole golf course, I must say. I know there's a few of you out there that can do it, Ben Higgins, but it's really not easy. And you're right. You can't fake it for 18 holes.
No.
You might get a birdie somewhere along the line.
No.
But
your real skill level will
come
out.
The other day, I was telling you earlier, I went golfing and I got like 7 holes. I had like 6 pars and a boat. I was doing great. Then I went triple-triple because the real me showed up for a couple holes.
Like baseball is a statistical sport, so is golf.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, although getting a hit against a major league pitcher, I don't know about that either. So, but I'll say the golf's harder. What about you?
I mean, my best score ever on an 18-hole course is 82. So I've never broken 80 before.
But you conceivably could.
I could if I really had a great
day. If you're within 2 shots, you could conceivably do it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
So I would say it would be harder to get a hit in my situation because I think I could get a 79 if I was everything was going right for
right.
me.
So I would say for you the hit.
Yeah.
Because I've seen you swing a bat in softball.
Whoa. Oh, he's decided. He's decided.
For you, the hit would be harder.
CJ on the chat said sub 80 is like hitting 300 average, which is also very hard for people to do. I do think, though, if you just stuck your bat out there in one of the 18 at-bats, you may get a bunt. You just have to get on base. You're not having to hit it out of the infield.
Well, I would probably try to bunt all 18 at bats then.
But
that was,
would be
if
hard.
If that was legit and, you know, legal, then that's what I would try.
Yes.
So.
All right. Well, that was a good little debate.
Good debate.
Yes.
We have another golf debate that I want to get to, but you and I, this is not a sports court.
Ooh, okay.
But I don't let me forget.
Okay.
Because I want to chat about something that happened to me on the golf course the other day.
All right. Wow.
Get your professional opinion on it.
I love when you say my professional opinion. Real quick, this hour at 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is your one connection for a summer job in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com. All right, the second one is this. My friend is the biggest armchair manager I know. Always disagrees with the manager, always disagrees with me. He's an analytics guy and actually pays for services so he can get the information as close as possible to what big league managers get. So whenever Mike Schilt makes a decision, he sends a group text to everyone about it, and I'm over it. I'm not going to end a friendship over this, but I need some ammunition to strike back at him. I'm up first. Do you have any for me?
So this guy's a know-it-all. And has
this comes up a lot in this segment.
Yeah, right. You people out there, all of your friends seem to be know-it-alls.
Yes.
Because we've had this discussion.
We have.
Before.
And with different variances to
right.
it. But, so I'm going to go first. Do I have any ammunition for it? My ammunition is going to be this. An analytics stat. Tell them to explain it to you. Because you don't understand what XWOBA769583 is. Just explain. Have him explain it to you, because he'll get sick of doing that real quick. And he will really quickly make himself look like he has no idea what he's talking about, because some of these stats are ridiculous. I say just try to fool him and try to make him trip himself up. Chris?
I say drop him as a friend. I'm tired of people like this guy who think like they know everything.
Drop him as a friend?
You said that you were thinking about it. Just
no,
make
he said
the move.
He's not. He said he's not.
Just make the move. I don't know. I get tired of people who can't just sit back and enjoy the game once in a while. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, look, I will say this. If the guy at least first guesses Mike Schilt and says in his group text, hey, I don't agree with this move because he can't get lefties out.
Yeah.
And then the guy doesn't get a lefty out. Then, you know, give him credit. He came up with it. But I would imagine that even know-it-alls are probably wrong most of the time. So I think that's the best way to do it. Instead of getting uptight about it, try to sit back and enjoy it. And when he's wrong, let him have it.
Let him have it.
Then you'll get some enjoyment out of it as well.
I had a guy in my DMs maybe don't know, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And all he would do is everything that we said on the show, he would send me the analytic version of the breakdown.
Yeah.
And I told him, I do not care, sir.
I'm over it.
Do not care, sir.
Yeah. By the way, the Rockies-A's game just ended in the 11th inning. The only way a Rockies-A's game could end.
I didn't see it.
With a bases loaded walk. The A's win 10-9.
And they were celebrating like it was the World Series.
Yes, the A's get 5 in the bottom of the 11th after the Rockies had scored 4 in the top of the 11th. Yes, indeed, we lost all 3 to that team.
Junior
makes you real happy, doesn't it?
Yes. Junior said in the chat, the Padres gained like 20,000 armchair managers after 2019.
That's right.
Kind of true. All right, here's the final one. And Chris, I don't know, you might have an opinion on it, but they say this one may be more for Scraby and Tony, but Tony's not here, so we have to do it without him. I love sports courts, and I have this question. I play MLB The Show online, and mostly against some friends of mine. One thing about the baseball games, video games, is you can easily mess up an experience by trying to pitch like an idiot. I tend to try and play like a real game is played. One of my friends is the guy who throws purposely bad pitches to make his opponent swing, and it gets old. You may ask, why don't you stop swinging? Well, when I stop swinging, he then throws the good pitches and racks up the strikes. So there are no rules against this, but is this a lame way to play, Chris?
It sounds like it. I don't play MLB The Show or any of these games, but if I did, I would want it to be as much like the real experience as it could be. So that's all I can tell you. It sounds like your friend's lame. Sounds like it's time to get some new friends like the last guy.
Is this what we do here now?
Yes. Play with some people that want to do it right. Explain this to me, Scrape. What do you mean he's throwing weird pitches?
What does that mean? He'll throw like a curveball in the dirt. And so you swing because you're playing a video game. So at some point it looks like a good pitch.
Okay.
And then it's in the dirt. But then when you say, okay, I get your strategy, he'll throw a strike. And then now it's like 2-1, 2-2. I have played like this online.
Can I just say that far too many people take far too many video games far too seriously? Is that fair?
Everything in life, Chris, you could say that about.
Yeah,
but yes, this person is taking this far too seriously. What I say about it, yeah, this is a lame way to play. There are no rules about it. But if he's going to play this way, force him to throw strikes. Even if you just have to take 3 strikes in a row, this guy cannot, I can already tell you, he cannot lay off the bad pitches. So just force him to throw you strikes.
I don't know how these judges back in the 1800s made it, man. My hair, I'm getting sweaty. It's, ugh.
Everybody's saying it's lame.
Getting batchy.
There's a GoFundMe for a comb going on.
It's the way the wig came. What can I tell you?
Unwritten rules for MLB video games. I've thought about throwing at someone in a video game, but what's the point? Really? I'm just putting someone on base.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt the guy holding the controllers, is it?
But I've definitely thought about it.
Okay, try that. We got Chris vs. the Fans, 833-288-0973. I'm going to get this wig off so I can stop sweating. More Gwen and Chris on the way.
Do you have a sports issue, San Diego? Do you need a third party to make a decision? The guys have put on their robes and picked up their gavels.
All rise. Here comes the judge.
Gwen and Chris Sports Court starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I got to say, every time I look into the camera and the video and I see Chris in his wig, I think how great the wig actually looks on you every single time.
It's amazing what happens when you add hair to me.
Ah, man, that's amazing.
Yeah, I got my real hair cut today. Sam, the barber out at Mr. Cut.
Oh, what's Sam up to?
Rancho
these days?
San Diego.
Is he Sam's winning any man. Big bets anymore? Because
he always does. He told me actually he's getting ready to participate this year in Circa's.
Survivor Pool.
Survivor Pool.
Well, he should. He wins it every year for whatever he's playing in.
He's been in 3 Survivor Pools of NFL football that I know of. This is my great barber, Sam. Go visit him out there at Mr. Cut if you're in Rancho San Diego. Say hi to him for me.
If it's good enough for Bob Scanlon goes to Sam too.
Yeah. And by the way, if anybody goes and tells Sam that they heard his name on the radio, He goes crazy. He thinks it's the greatest thing that's ever happened. So,
well, there you go, Sam.
He loves it.
We talk about Sam off the air. We talk about Sam on the air.
Sam's the man. But he's also the greatest survivor pool picker I've ever seen. Yeah, he's been in three incredible. Of them that I know of, and he's won them all. Won them all.
That's pretty incredible.
I don't know how you do that. All right. Let's get to sports court.
Well, first,
some
my
real
first
stuff.
Sports court is I dropped something earlier on the show when you were talking about Luis Arraez kind of scanning the field, and I said it's kind of like the water boy when he's scanning the onside kick and he's looking for the scared guy in the line so that he can kick it to that guy.
Oh, in the movie,
yes.
The water boy.
So Eric Price on Twitter said, that was a great reference, thank you. GCU dad said, never seen the water boy. That's my first sports court. You have to watch The Waterboy if you're going to listen to this show.
And if you are wondering, Scraby will tell you that it is a great movie. Just like every movie you've ever seen.
The Waterboy is legitimately a great movie.
Sorry.
It's hilarious.
It's all right.
Where would we... I almost posted a GIF the other day when the Padres lost on Tuesday with Rob Schneider saying, "We suck again!" It's from Waterboy. It's great.
It's okay.
All right, here we go. Sports court. If you have any issues that you want solved by Chris and myself, and when Tony's here, he'll solve them too, then just DM me or email me. But here's the first one. It goes like this.
Okay.
A fun debate broke out during a round of golf the other day, and I thought you guys would get a kick out of it. We were talking about how hard golf is and comparing it to baseball. And I said I think it's much harder to shoot a score of sub-80 on an 18-hole course than it would be to get one hit and 18 at-bats. My theory is you could stick your bat out there and maybe get lucky and get a hit. You can't fake golf for 18 holes. Chris, which is more difficult in your opinion?
I know a lot of us like to think we could just get lucky and get a hit against a major league pitcher. I know we'd love to think that. We can close our eyes, guess right, and hit the ball first, let alone hit it safely.
Yeah, we're not talking about grooving fastballs. We're talking about a legit major league
right.
bat.
Like curveball, sliders, knucklers, whatever it might
yeah.
be.
Just everything flying everywhere.
Yeah. But that said, it's got to be harder to shoot under 80 on a real professional 18-hole golf course, I must say. I know there's a few of you out there that can do it, Ben Higgins, but it's really not easy. And you're right. You can't fake it for 18 holes.
No.
You might get a birdie somewhere along the line.
No.
But
your real skill level
your
will
real
come
skill,
out.
The other day, I was telling you earlier, I went golfing and I got like... 7 holes, I had like 6 pars and a boat. I was doing great. Then I went triple-triple because the real me showed up for a couple holes.
Like baseball is a statistical sport, so is golf.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, although getting a hit against a major league pitcher, I don't know about that either. So, but I'll say the golf's harder. What about you?
I mean, my best score ever on an 18-hole course is 82. So I've never broken 80 before.
But you conceivably could.
I could really had a great
day. If you're within 2 shots, you could conceivably do it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
So I would say it would be harder to get a hit in my situation because I think I could get a 79 if everything was going right for
right.
me.
So I would say for you the hit.
Yeah.
Because I've seen you swing a bat in softball.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, he's decided. He's decided.
For you, the hit would be harder.
CJ on the chat said sub-80 is like hitting 300 average, which is also very hard for people to do. I do think, though, if you just stuck your bat out there in one of the 18 at-bats, you may get a bunt. You just have to get on base. You're not having to hit it out of the infield.
Well,
or
I would probably
like
try to bunt all 18 at bats then.
But
if that was,
would be
if
hard.
If that was legit and legal, then that's what I would try.
Yes.
So.
All right. Well, that was a good little debate.
Good debate.
Yes.
We have another golf debate that I want to get to, but you and I, this is not a sports court.
Ooh, okay.
But I don't let me forget.
Okay.
Because I want to chat about something that happened to me on the golf course the other day.
All right. Wow.
Get your professional opinion on it.
I love when you say my professional
yes.
opinion. Real quick, this hour at 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is your one connection for a summer job in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com. Gwinandchris.com. All right, the second one is this. My friend is the biggest armchair manager I know. Always disagrees with the manager, always disagrees with me. He's an analytics guy and actually pays for services so he can get the information as close as possible to what big league managers get. So whenever Mike Schilt makes a decision, he sends a group text to everyone about it, and I'm over it. I'm not going to end a friendship over this, but I need some ammunition to strike back at him. I'm up first. Do you have any for me?
So this guy's a know-it-all and has
This comes up a lot in this segment.
Yeah, right. You people out there, all of your friends seem to be know-it-alls.
Yes.
Because we've had this discussion
we have
before.
And with different variances to
right.
it. But so I'm going to go first. Do I have any ammunition for it? My ammunition is going to be this. An analytics stat. Tell them to explain it to you. Because you don't understand what XWOBA769583 is. Just explain. Have him explain it to you. Because he'll get sick of doing that real quick. And he will really quickly make himself look like he has no idea what he's talking about. Because some of these stats are ridiculous. I say just try to fool him. And try to make him trip himself up. Chris?
I say drop him as a friend. I'm tired of people like this guy who think like they know everything.
Drop him as a friend?
Yeah. Yeah, you said that you were thinking about it. Just
no,
make
he said
the move.
He's not. He said he's not.
Just make the move. I don't know. I get tired of people who can't just sit back and enjoy the game once in a while, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, look, I will say this, if the guy at least first guesses Mike Schilt and says in his group text, "Hey, I don't agree with this move because
he can't
get lefties out."
Yeah.
And then the guy doesn't get a lefty out, then, you know, give him credit. He came up with it. But I would imagine that even know-it-alls are probably wrong most of the time. So I think that's the best way to do it. Instead of getting uptight about it, try to sit back and enjoy it. And when he's wrong, let him have it.
Let him have it.
Then you'll get some enjoyment out of it as well.
I had a guy in my DMs maybe, I don't know, a year ago, and all he would do is everything that we said on the show, he would send me the analytic version of the breakdown.
Yeah.
And I told him, I do not care, sir.
I'm over it.
Do not care, sir.
Yeah. By the way, the Rockies-A's game just ended in the 11th inning. The only way a Rockies-A's game could end.
I didn't see it.
With a bases loaded walk. The A's win 10-9.
And they were celebrating like it was the World Series.
Yes, the A's get 5 in the bottom of the 11th after the Rockies had scored 4 in the top of the 11th. Yes, indeed, we lost all 3 to that team.
Junior
makes you real happy, doesn't it?
Yes. Junior said in the chat, the Padres gained like 20,000 armchair managers after 2019.
That's right.
Kind of true. All right, here's the final one. And Chris, I don't know, you might have an opinion on it, but they say this one may be more for Scraby and Tony, but Tony's not here, so we have to do it without him. I love sports courts, and I have this question. I play MLB The Show online, and mostly against some friends of mine. One thing about the baseball games, video games, is you can easily mess up an experience by trying to pitch like an idiot. I tend to try and play like a real game is played. One of my friends is the guy who throws purposely bad pitches to make his opponent swing, and it gets old. You may ask, why don't you stop swinging? Well, when I stop swinging, he then throws the good pitches and racks up the strikes. So there are no rules against this, but is this a lame way to play, Chris?
It sounds like it. I don't play MLB The Show or any of these games. But if I did, I would want it to be as much like the real experience as it could be. So that's all I can tell you. It sounds like your friend's lame. Sounds like it's time to get some new friends like the last guy.
Is this what we do here now?
Yes. Play with some people that want to do it right. Explain this to me, Scrape. What do you mean he's throwing weird pitches?
What does that mean? He'll throw like a curveball in the dirt. And so you swing because you're playing a video game. So at some point it looks like a good pitch.
Okay.
And then it's in the dirt. But then when you say, okay, I get your strategy, he'll throw a strike. And then now it's like 2-1, 2-2. I have played like this online.
Can I just say that far too many people take far too many video games far too seriously? Is that fair?
Everything in life, Chris, you could say that about.
Yeah,
but yes, this person is taking this far too seriously. What I say about it, this is a lame way to play. There are no rules about it. But if he's going to play this way, force him to throw strikes. Even if you just have to take three strikes in a row, this guy cannot, I can already tell you, he cannot lay off the bad pitches. So just force him to throw you strikes.
I don't know how these judges back in the 1800s made it, man. My hair, I'm getting sweaty. It's, ugh.
Everybody's saying it's lame.
Getting batchy.
This is, there's a GoFundMe for a comb going on.
It's the way the wig came. What can I tell you?
Unwritten rules for MLB video games. I've thought about throwing at someone in a video game, but what's the point? Really? I'm just putting someone on base.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt the guy holding the controllers, is
it?
But
I've definitely thought about it.
Okay, try that. We got Chris versus the fans, 833-288-0973. I'm going to get this wig off so I can stop sweating. More Gwen and Chris on the way.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.